things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. Say good report. I feel refreshed this morning. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now go with me to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. You know it well. You know it well. You're getting to know it well. Probably rehearse it in your sleep, in fact. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The title of my message today is this. It is how to activate revelation. How to activate revelation from the Holy Spirit. How many of you are interested in receiving revelation, deeper understanding, knowledge from the Holy Ghost? Thank you, you three. I appreciate it. Glad you're here today. Now, today I want to teach you some key points in the Word of God about how to position yourself, how to activate revelation from the Holy Spirit. I want to dig deeper into the command in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, to seek things which are above. And then once you find what those, come on, things are, then we are supposed to set our mind or our thoughts on those things. Things above are referring to heavenly things, spiritual things, things connected to the kingdom of God. Now listen to this. The spirit realm operates from the realm of thought. The spirit realm operates from the realm of thought. In other words, you're either connecting with the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness in your thought life. There's only one of two kingdoms that your thought life is connecting to, and it's one of those two. We are a spirit being. We possess a soul, a mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a physical body. Amen? As Christians, as you know, our spirit man is born again. But our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and our physical body, they're not born again. Something has to be done with them. Here's the problem. Our soul or our mind, our thoughts, they are spiritual. And unless we renew our mind and adjust our belief system, come on, to the Word of God, our belief system in our heart. Every one of you has a belief system. An atheist has a belief system. Everyone believes something, right? Unless you renew your mind with the Word of God and adjust your belief system to line up with the Word of God, we will always live a life from a carnal, a fleshly mindset, which, here's the bad news. Are you ready? Say bad news. Which automatically connects you to the kingdom of darkness in your thought life. If you do nothing, you're automatically set to the kingdom of darkness. That's not good news, is it? That's why we got to do something to shift and renew our mind to get connected to the kingdom of God. So our soul is spiritual, but it's not born again. Only our spirit man is born again. And that's why 3 John 2 reveals that even our physical health in our physical body depends on the condition and on the focus of our soul, our mind, or our thought life. So the mind is very important. It even controls our physical health, our mental health, our every part of us. Amen? It didn't tell us. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to notice that we are to seek and to set our mind, say mind, on things above, on things that are unseen. Did you hear what I just said? On things that are unseen to the physical eye. It didn't tell us to seek and to set our physical eyes on anything, but rather to set our mind, set our thoughts on things above, the spiritual eyes of our focus. Our focus is our spiritual eyes. That's the eyes of your heart. Amen? So we are to seek the unseen. Hear what I'm saying. Some of you might hear some of these things I'm saying and you're thinking, what is he saying? Just let it soak in. Your spirit understands. Let it soak in and let it bake a little bit, all right? We are to seek the unseen. And that takes a spiritual mindset, not a carnal mindset that's only focused on what you see and circumstances around you, all the negative circumstances. Seeking the unseen is the exact nature of what faith is. Say faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Here it is, the evidence of things not seen. It's saying it has nothing to do with these two eyeballs right here. It has to do with what's going on the inside of you and what you're focused on in your thoughts, in your mind, in your soul. Colossians 3:2 commands us to seek those things which are above where Christ is right now. We are to have an interest then in things that are above. If we're going to seek something, hey, tell me this. If you're seeking something, doesn't that mean you have an interest in that thing? If you have an interest in something, are you going to seek after something? No, right? If you don't have an interest, you're not going to seek after something. But if you have it, you will. So this tells us that seeking things above, God is saying you need to have, as a Christian, an interest in things above. Things, you have to have an interest in things that are not seen. If we are going to position ourselves and activate revelation in our life from the Holy Spirit, according to Colossians 3:2, we are to seek and to set our mind or our soul or our focus on things above. Now, some things are a little bit repetitive, and that's on purpose. Our soul or mind, your thoughts, must be disciplined. They must be controlled in the process of seeking and setting our focus on things above. It's interesting, the word disciple, it means a disciplined one. Say disciplined one. So we got to discipline our thought life to seek and to set. Seek, once you find, set on it. Focus on it. An out-of-control thought life, anybody ever have an out-of-control thought life? We've all been there, right? Some of you this morning probably, right? Okay. Now, an out-of-control thought life will not receive anything from the Holy Spirit, but rather it will open you up to deception from evil spirits and demons. Did you hear what I just said? Why? Because an out-of-control thought life automatically, come on, defaults to the kingdom of darkness. It takes discipline to stay connected to the kingdom of God. The word of God reveals. Now, let's get deeper into this. If we're supposed to seek things above, let's talk about the above. What's above? The word of God refers to three different kinds of heavens. Did you know that? There are three different kinds of heavens. The first heaven is the sky that you see. When you look up and you see that yellow airplane flying over, that's the sky. That's the first heaven, right? All right. That's that. The second heaven is space, where you see where the stars and the planets are. And the third heaven is where God dwells. The third heaven is where your loved ones in Christ go when they leave this earth. Amen? Where the throne room of God is at. So we must get acquainted. Let's get a little deeper in this. We must get acquainted with the things of the third heaven. Never mind the first, never mind the second. Nope, we are to set our mind on things above where Christ is. And Christ is in where? The third heaven. So we got to set our mind on things attached to, connected to the third heaven. Now, the Apostle Paul referred to the third heaven in the Word of God. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4, real quick. I make no apologies if we go over late today because it was an amazing praise and worship time. Precious, amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians, pray help if I get out of 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4. And it says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up into, caught up to the, there it is, the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Now, so the third heaven is referred to in this passage as a paradise. Ooh, say paradise. Isn't that going to be amazing when we get to heaven? It's a paradise waiting for us. I love that. It's a place that is saturated with the manifest presence of God. We just got a little taste of it here. Can you imagine the fullness of the glory in the presence of God that we're going to experience one day? In fact, it says the glory of God is so bright. There's no sun that's needed in heaven. The glory and the presence of God himself is the light that lights up all of heaven. It's a place of continual, blissful fellowship with God, our Creator, and with the other Christians that have went on before us. Amen, when we get there. It's where the Lord Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father. But I find it very interesting. The man that visited that third heaven that Paul is referring to, it said he was caught up. It was a supernatural experience, not just his imagination. He wasn't dreaming. Literally, his spirit man rocketed out of his physical body, and he was caught up into the third heaven. I don't know about you, but that kind of excites me. That can happen today to someone. Well, no, again, that was Paul. That was no. That can happen today. Spiritual encounters still happen today. Amen? But the problem is we aren't the ones that should initiate it. It should be God doing it. See, people in the occult who do this evil astral projecting and occult stuff, that's demonic. That's from the enemy, right? But if God's initiating something, how many of you know you want everything he has for you? Many Bible scholars believe that Paul is talking about himself in that passage, all right? They say that he wrote it like that. The Holy Spirit had him write it like that, and he wrote it like that because he didn't want to sound boastful about himself. You see, let me let you in on a little secret here. The Apostle Paul walked in humility after becoming a Christian. After his experience on the road to Damascus, Paul really did not have a pride problem. Oh, he had so much pride, he needed that thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. No, that was a messenger of Satan to keep him from receiving more revelation and pressing in with God and promoting the God. Are you following me? All right, so the Apostle Paul had an amazing supernatural encounter being taken up into the third heaven. That is the location that Colossians 3, 1 and 2 is talking about when it's telling us to seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. And then once we identify those things, we are to set our mind on them, set our thoughts on those things. So God obviously is trying to take us higher in our thought life. Amen? Amen? We're too focused on the distractions on the earthly plane. No. God's saying, seek and set. Don't look back down. If you're running into a problem, seek him, seek his word, seek his solution. Don't meditate on the problem. Amen? Many of those things are found in the word of God, the things that we are to seek and to set our mind on in heaven. Many of those things are found in the word of God, and some of those things will be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit on the inside of us as Christians. But only, ready? Here's where, now, this is what I'm telling you, how to activate revelation in your life. Say, I'm listening. But those things will be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit only if we're asking, seeking, and knocking for those things. Now, I'm going to go deeper into this. Ask the Holy Spirit to make you aware of those things as you read and hear the word of God. And then ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those things that are not specifically listed in the word of God. Did you hear what I just said? So we search the word of God diligently. Holy Spirit, as I'm reading the word, as I'm hearing messages, make me aware of any promise in there, anything connected to heaven that I need to be aware of, that I need to set my mind on, right? And then things that aren't listed, how many of you know the Holy Spirit opens the Word of God to us. He'll always be in line with the Word of God, but he will give you more information about the Word of God. Does that make sense? If God has revealed to us in his Word to ask, seek, and knock, here's what the Holy Spirit told me about this, about receiving from the Holy Spirit. He said, we must ask the right questions we want answers to. We must ask the right questions we want answers to. We must seek the truth in the Word of God and put an effort into doing that. Here's the word he gave me this week. We need to be searching the Word, and we need to be pressing in, asking the Lord questions, good questions that are filled with this, curiosity. Say curiosity. They need to be questions that are filled with curiosity, with desire. And we must knock on the proper doors that we want to open in the kingdom of God. I said this before, I'll say it again. When I was learning to fly, one thing my instructor said and that I got really good at, he said, you know, a lot of instructing is, there's some things an instructor might forget to tell you. He said, the key is this, asking the instructor the right questions. Did you hear what I just said? And it's the same with the Holy Spirit, same with our Heavenly Father. We need to put some thought in what we're asking him for. Yeah, you got to get that. Put some thought in what you're asking him for. To have a curiosity and a desire for specific revelation of knowledge, that means we have to put some time, some effort, and thought into forming the right questions in our heart to ask our Heavenly Father. How many of you in here were a teacher ever? I know you two were. Didn't it just bless your heart when a student asks you a question? You're like, wow, that's a clever question. The same with our Heavenly Father. Dig a little deeper. Get beyond the surface level, right? Get below the surface level of Jesus loves me. Does Jesus really love me? Do I really matter to you? Come on, get over that. Get over that. Yes, he does. Let's dig deeper. Let's get a little deeper. Amen? We must think of deeper, specific questions to ask. Our responsibility in receiving revelation from the Holy Spirit is to be curious enough and have a desire to know more that will cause us to ask and pursue the answers in the Word of God and in prayer. In the Word of God in prayer. So, see, that if you don't have questions for the Lord, that thing better stop right now. If you don't have questions for the Lord, all it reveals is a spiritually lazy Christian. Right? Because we're told to ask, seek, and knock. Or I'm going to throw this thing right across the stage. Okay, now go to John 16. Oh, well, I'm rolling with it. What is going on there? Help. Okay. John 16. Okay. Is that good? I think it's good. Oh, it's the pack. Talk amongst yourselves. Yeah, remember that Nintendo thing? Oh, my goodness.
Set your mind up.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Out. One more squeal. I'm getting the handheld. Is that the one? Y'all ready to rock? Okay, here we go. Go to John 16. John 16, 12 through 15. Hallelujah. So I want to give you some examples in the Word of God that stirs me up, that stirs up my curiosity. It stirs up my desire to know more. John 16, 12 through 15, let's take a look at here. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you or show you things to come, according to the King James. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Jesus told his disciples, he said that I have many more things to say unto you, but you cannot handle them right now. All right, so, and then Jesus went on to say that the Holy Spirit would guide them and us, basically, right, because he's talking to us too, will guide us into all truth. Now, the Holy Spirit would direct us in the right direction. Here's what the Holy Spirit said, ready? He said, I will direct you in the right direction, but we must ask, seek, and knock. And the Holy Spirit would stir us up to do that. But we still are expected to ask, seek, and knock. Now, this passage here, I don't know about you, but this passage makes me curious about what more did Jesus have to say to them? What more did he have to say that wasn't in the Word? But it's in line with the Word. So that stirs my curiosity, my desire in my heart to know more of those things. So I started praying. I said, Heavenly Father, I want revelation from the Holy Spirit to know those things that Jesus wanted to tell his disciples, but he couldn't, and he left that responsibility to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed something in this passage that I never thought about before. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own authority. If you read that too fast, you will miss this very important point. You gotta, here, I wanna encourage you guys this. Read the Word slowly. Read it slowly. Someone ever tell you, chew your food slower. Eat a little slower. Well, I'm telling you to read the Word. Chew on the Word slower. Amen? Prayerfully. I asked my Heavenly Father, I said, give me more insight on that point. And the Holy Spirit, this is it. This is what I got here. The Holy Spirit will not release revelation knowledge to us if it's not asked for, sought for, or heavenly doors aren't being knocked on for it. The Holy Spirit, this is what it's all about. The Holy Spirit needs us as Christians to use our authority on this earth through prayer and our mind or heart seeking truth, seeking more revelation from him. There's got to be a desire, amen? That is the reason we're told to ask, seek, and knock. Listen, if we didn't have to do it, he wouldn't tell us to do it. All right? There's a reason why he told us that, because we have authority on this earth. In fact, all of mankind has authority. Now, we have the authority, delegated authority from Jesus in a spiritual sense, but every person, saved or unsaved, has an authority. It's called free will. Now, some of them are using it and contacting the wrong kingdom. Amen. But for us as Christians, there must be a curiosity. There must be a desire, a spiritual hunger. Oh, come on. A spiritual hunger for more revelation manna from heaven. Say manna. Oh, we got to have some hunger and desire for revelation manna from heaven. In asking, seeking, and knocking to our Heavenly Father, that causes him to instruct the Holy Spirit to release revelation to us. That's another part of the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything on his own. He's waiting for instructions from the Father. Did you hear what I just said? He's waiting on instructions from the Father. Receiving revelation from the Holy Spirit, it does not happen randomly. It happens on purpose. Say on purpose. Now, let me give you another example in the Word where God leaves something open-ended that we need revelation from the Holy Spirit to get more understanding on it. Go to John 21. John 21. There's some things in the Word of God that we're kind of left hanging. It's a to be continued, or it's to be continued until you want more revelation on it and the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Oh, come on, somebody. Say open-ended. Now I'm going to read the last two verses of the book of John, the Gospel of John. These are the last two verses of that book. Look how it leaves us on a cliffhanger. I love it. Verse 24 and 25. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that that his testimony is true. Verse 25. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. If that's not the cliffhanger of all cliffhangers. In other words, the Holy Spirit's saying, look, the Word of God has everything you need to get you through life here, but you also need me to reveal some more things and deeper truths of the Word. It's a cliffhanger. Now, my goodness, I don't know. These words reveal that Jesus did many other things that are not written in the Word of God. In fact, he did so many things, it said, man, this whole world couldn't contain it. Now, let me just tell you something. This is where sometimes some well-meaning Christians go in the ditch and they push away revelation from the Holy Spirit. They say, if there's not an exact example in the Word of God, I'm not going to believe it. Gold dust, that's not in the Word, I'm not going to believe it. It's not from God. Hello, somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I hate to say it, but particularly who's kind of bad of doing this kind of stuff is the Word of Faith. Say Word of Faith. It's like, I hate to say that. I'm a Rhema grad. I love them. I respect and I love them. But there's certain things, like on deliverance, a Christian, ministering deliverance to Christians, that's one thing. They're like, Christian can't have a demon. I'm like, I've been doing it for over 20 years. Hello. Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in here. So there's a couple of things that, you know, and I've heard well-meaning Word of Faith preachers say, oh yeah, that gold dust. No, oh no, no. Why? Because I see what they're trying to do. They're saying, well, there's got to be an exact example or we're not receiving it. I get it. But what you're going to do is you're going to cut off the revelation knowledge from the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? All right. Now, so I don't know about you, but that stirs up a curiosity and a desire, a spiritual hunger to know about those things. Because Jesus is our example. He is the head. We are members of his body to carry out his work on this earth. Anybody figure that out yet? So I've been asking, seeking, and knocking to my Heavenly Father to reveal to me, Lord, reveal to me by your Holy Spirit, what are some of the other things that Jesus did? I want to know. I want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. Again, it's our asking, seeking, and knocking to our Heavenly Father that releases revelation from the Holy Spirit. There must be a spiritual hunger in us to receive more. We must be thinking on. We must be focusing on heavenly things, spiritual things, connected to the third heaven and the kingdom of God, to position ourselves to receive illumination, revelation, right? All right, now, so we gotta stop meditating on the things of this earth, and we gotta get our thoughts up. Say, I gotta raise my thoughts up a little bit. All right, y'all doing all right? Go to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1.
Trust me, I'm not going to violate the word of God. On top of that, first of all, gold dust, it's not a salvation issue. Hello? Gold dust is not a salvation issue. Now, if an angel appeared to me and said, Jesus Christ is not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. Hello? You're a liar. Get out of there. But there are some manifestations, signs, and wonders that aren't listed in the Word of God that do happen in His glory and presence. Second, and if you don't want to believe it, trust me, you're cutting yourself short of a lot of fun things in the kingdom of God. Let me just tell you that. 2 Peter 1. You can go ahead and live a boring Christian life. Go ahead, but I'm not going to. Amen? And I'm not going to teach people to. Amen? Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be, oh, this is what gets me all the time, this one right here, that we may be partakers of the divine nature. Now, the New Age takes that in a whole different direction and say they're gods. No, I'm not saying that. But there's a higher level that we can attain to, amen? Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. God made a way for us to escape this junk of the curse, amen? This passage is so filled with spiritual gold that my curiosity, my desire get stirred up every time I read or hear this message. It reveals this, number one, that grace and peace can be multiplied in our life. How? Well, there it tells us, through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So evidently, if you want grace and peace multiplied, you got to know some things. Say, I got to know some things. So many people are just like, oh, grace, well, I could just go live how I want and blah, blah, blah. No, you need to know some things. You need to know some things. Say, I need to know some things. Receiving knowledge of our Heavenly Father and Jesus are twofold. Get ready. If you're taking notes, write this down. Receiving knowledge of our Heavenly Father and Jesus come two ways. Knowledge from what's revealed in the written Word of God, and revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit. We need both. Amen? We get revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit by having a curiosity, an interest, a desire in asking, seeking, and knocking on the door of our Heavenly Father that's in the third heaven. When's the last time you've asked him, Lord, reveal more of yourself to me. Show me more. I want to see your glory. Show me more. I want to seek your face like never before. Reveal more of yourself to me. That's the invitation he's waiting for. And it's so simple, you just think, yeah, right. If I ask that, if I really ask that, is he really going to do it? He will if you want it. If you're spiritually hungry for some spiritual manna in your life, amen? So I want you to notice it says grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of God and of our Heavenly Father in Jesus. I also want you to notice this, that it doesn't specifically say knowledge of the Holy Spirit in connection to grace and peace multiplied. Isn't that interesting? It said God the Father and Jesus. Everyone's all of a sudden looked down at their Bible. But that's because of this. I said, why is that, Heavenly Father? Why does it just mention Heavenly Father and Jesus? He said, that's because the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus. And when Jesus is glorified, the Heavenly Father is glorified too. Did you follow that chain reaction there? That the Holy Spirit, here's why. He went on to say this. The Holy Spirit does not have a desire to be glorified. He does not have a desire to be glorified. The Holy Spirit doesn't glorify himself. He is the messenger. He is the helper. He is the promoter. He is the glorifier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? His desire is for you to honor, respect, and obey his instructions, but he doesn't want to be glorified because Jesus is the only name under heaven given by where men must be saved. Are you following me? Jesus did the work of redemption and salvation on this earth. The Holy Spirit is the promoter and the glorifier of Jesus and of that finished work. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's not important. The whole message is about receiving revelation from the Holy Spirit. But my point is, he doesn't want the glory. He's pointing people to Jesus. And the Bible's very clear, when Jesus gets glorified, our Heavenly Father is glorified because he sent Jesus to this earth. Y'all following me so far? So the Father sent Jesus. Jesus did the finished work on the earth, and the Holy Spirit promotes it and helps Christians to walk in that finished work, all right? To take advantage of all the benefits for all those who want to take advantage of the benefits, amen? So grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit feeds us that knowledge through the written word of God and revelation knowledge. The more you know about the finished work of Jesus and the will of our Heavenly Father, the more divine favor, the more prosperity, the more health, the more blessing and peace you will walk in on this earth. The blessing of Abraham, Galatians 3:13 talks, Jesus became a curse for us, right? So that the blessing of Abraham could come upon us. That's the Holy Spirit's job, for us to take hold of all the benefits that Jesus gave us, amen? That's why we don't go preaching, the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, the gospel of the Holy Spirit. No, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. That's why grace and peace are multiplied. Because faith begins where the will of God is known, or that you have knowledge of it in your life. The more knowledge from the word of God and revelation from the Holy Spirit, the more potential you will have to have faith. Did you just hear what I said? I threw a word in there. Did you catch it? The more potential to have faith. Why did I say that? I say more potential to have faith because you can know all those things. You can know those scriptures inside and out about all the benefits and the blessings and still not have a lick of faith for any one of them. So it gives us the potential to have faith in those specific things. Because faith is your free will decision. You have a free will to believe it, to have faith for it, or you have a free will not to believe it at all. It's your choice, right? God's not forcing you. The Holy Spirit's not twisting your arm behind your back to do it, right? Divine power that pertains to life and godliness is available to every Christian through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want more revelation about that from the Holy Spirit. So I frequently think about and I ask questions to my Heavenly Father about that. See, what will help you form important questions, good questions to ask to receive, starts with this: meditating on the Word of God. You got to meditate on the Word of God. You got to think about it. Extended thought. Just take one verse. Just take one verse, one passage or verse, one account in the Word, and just take some extended thought on that. Really think about it and just start asking your Heavenly Father some questions about it. And then just be open on the inside to hear what he's going to bring back to you on it. I want more revelation about that stuff. I asked my Heavenly Father, I said, make me aware of the promises in the written word of God so that I can claim and stand on, right? Promises, again, that I'm not even thinking about, a situation I may be going through in my life at the moment. Lord, make me aware of a promise. Give me a rhema word, the spoken word when he speaks a word to you. All right, doing pretty good. Page 7 and it's 1148. All right, now. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would bring the word of God to our remembrance when we need it. But listen to this. But if you're not in a spiritual mindset, you're going to miss that instruction. Do you hear what I just said? You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. There must be a focus on things above. There must be a focus on things above, a spiritual mindset. When you wake up every morning, ask your Heavenly Father to have the Holy Spirit to bring the Word of God to your remembrance, whatever you're going to be facing. Say, Heavenly Father, bring a scripture to my remembrance. I don't know what this day holds, but you hold the day. Bring scripture to my remembrance with whatever I'm going to face today. Amen? Second Peter goes on to reveal that through the promises in the Word of God, we have the potential, say potential, to be partakers of the divine nature. Man, I love, there's just something always strikes a chord in my spirit. Partakers of the divine nature. And then it says, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. It says that you may be, say maybe, maybe partakers. In other words, it's up to you. It's up to you. The promises are available. Are you going to believe them? You're going to receive them? Amen. You're going to walk in them? To be partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, we need knowledge of the will of our Heavenly Father, right? If you don't know the will of God on a certain thing, then it's just a hope. It's a worldly hope, actually. It's a, man, God, you know, if it be your will. No, the promise, when something is a promise, it is His will. Did you hear what I just said? It says that we can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust through the precious promises. They're promises from our Heavenly Father, which means He's making His will known. Isn't that what a promise is? Yeah. Right? So partakers of that divine nature also includes walking and living in the fruit of the Spirit, living a holy and righteous life on this earth. And that will cause you to become a partaker of the divine nature. Why? Because everyone else is living like the devil out there. Everyone else is living like the devil. Very few want to live a holy and righteous life for the Lord that's committed to Him. That's a life that will keep you, come on, from corruption that's in this world through lust. Are you following me? So we as Christians are children of God. We need to be more like our Heavenly Father. With the Holy Spirit living in us, we have the power to live that holy and righteous life. That is part of the escaping this world, the corruption that's in this world. So as we become more like our Heavenly Father, we will begin to live, walk, and minister like Jesus on this earth. And Jesus, by the way, He said when He walked this earth, He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So we need people, when we're living, we need people to say, wow, I was watching James's life and how he's moving, how he's walking, how he's talking. That must be how Jesus walked this earth. Amen? Don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to Jesus. And I'm going to say we probably, none of us have gotten there, amen? But we need to become more and more like Him, amen? The more we begin to think like, talk like, and act like Jesus, the more supernatural power of God we're going to be partakers of on this earth. The divine nature, the nature that God created us originally to walk in. This is what it's all about. All of this, the Word of God, Jesus coming to this earth. Ready? All it is this. He was reversing what happened in the fall in the Garden of Eden. You understand that? It's to get us back to the original intent of why God created us. Now, let's look at a passage that reveals what the Apostle Paul prayed. Go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 15 through 22, real quick here. Let's look and see how Paul prayed for Christians. And these, if it's in the Word of God, if there's a sample prayer in the Word of God from someone who prayed, that's probably something you should add to your prayer list. Because God saw fit to put it in the Word. And it's probably pretty powerful and hits the spiritual bullseye. Amen? Here we go. Ephesians 1:15 through 22. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Great. So Paul's praying for some new Christians. Then he goes on to say what he's praying about. This is good stuff. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. So you're praying to the Heavenly Father, right? All right, you're not praying to the Holy Spirit. You're not even praying to Jesus. You're praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. We got to learn how to pray properly, right? Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I don't know fully what that is, but that's pretty cool, isn't it? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who have doubt. Oh, for those who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things, say all things. We got to let this soak in, and all things. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's you and I. The fullness of him who fills all in all. So we need to pray to our Heavenly Father for others and for ourselves. To give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Oh, my, my, my. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That sounds like we need some extra revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit to accompany the word. Yep. Don't count out the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't lock out the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that we would know the exceeding greatness of his power toward usward who believe or have faith. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, of our Heavenly Father. Now listen to this. The more we seek and learn about him, our Heavenly Father, the more revelation we receive from the Holy Spirit about him, the more. Here's why it's important. I asked the Lord, I said, okay, I get it. We're supposed to know our Heavenly Father more, right? It makes sense. But there's something more to it. What else, Lord? What's the more that you want us to get here? And this is it. The more we get to know him, have more revelation of our Heavenly Father, the more we will understand how the kingdom of God operates. The more we understand the spiritual laws in the spirit realm, the more we will understand about the spirit realm and the natural realm. Why? Here's why. Because everything that was created came from and out of him. So the more we learn about him, the more we understand spiritual laws. The more we understand how everything operates. Amen? That's how we know that words are powerful. God spoke creation. He spoke it into existence by his words. He obviously, in his heart, in his imagination, he knew what he wanted to create, and he formed words, and he brought it into being. Your words are creating something, by the way. Be careful what's coming out of that trap. Amen? So everything that was created came from and out of our Heavenly Father, out of him. We must seek to understand how God operates. We want to know him more. And just aside from that, don't you want to know your Creator? Why wouldn't we? Amen? The more we learn about his characteristics, his holiness, his righteousness, the more we can understand how to live our life on this earth from the original intent of God when he first created us before the fall in the Garden of Eden. The more we learn about, think about, meditate on, about our Heavenly Father and about Jesus, about things above in the third heaven where they dwell right now, the more we will live above the curse on this earth and this evil world system. Listen, Jesus didn't come to this earth, die on the cross, for you to get tangled up in the curse on this earth. Amen. Did you just hear what I said? He didn't do all that for you to live a defeated life on this earth and get run over and steamrolled by Satan and demonic spirits. Now, talking about learning more, getting more revelation about our Heavenly Father, what came to me was Moses. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights on top of a mountain in the glory, in the manifest presence of God. Now, and he came down and he was glowing. You remember that account? I would say 40 days, 40 nights in the glory, you're going to have some intimacy. You're going to get to know your Father really well. Amen? When you're spending that kind of time with the Father in his presence. Now, what was interesting was this. When Moses came down, he was glowing. He came down after that 40 days and 40 nights in the glory of God, in the presence, that intimacy with God. All the children of Israel, it says they were playing, they were sinning, they had an idol, and Moses got ticked off. You want to know why? If you really want to hate sin, spend time in the glory of God. Amen. Are you hearing me? If you really want the heartbeat of God of how he feels about sin, spend time in his presence. In his word. But when you get in that glory, see, Moses came down and he felt such an intimacy. And when he came down, his eyes, he seen things, how evil, how evil everything was and how rebellious the people were. And it changed him. It changed him. I'm telling you, you can't spend time in the glory of God without having God's perspective and the heartbeat of God coming from your own life. Amen? Amen? So seek and set your mind, your focus on ministering to the Lord without distraction. Pursue the presence and the glory of God like never before in your life. Keep your head, your mind in the cloud of his glory. Do you hear what I just said? Go with me real quick to Acts 4. Acts 4. It strikes me. See, you will see sin differently. You will see worldliness differently when you truly spend time in the presence of God, in the glory of God, in that intimate place, in that prayer closet with him. Amen? Acts 4, 29 through 31. Peter and John and other Christians gathered together because they were being threatened. They were told, don't preach this Jesus. Don't preach about Jesus. And so they were let go. And they went to their own company and they had a prayer meeting. In Acts 4, 29, 21, look at this. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. If they pray, here's what stuck out to me about this. If they prayed for healing, if they prayed for signs and wonders to follow their ministry, guess what we can pray for? Healing, signs, and wonders as well. Oh, you shouldn't be asking for gold dust. Oh, you shouldn't be asking for all this and that. Really? Because they just prayed for signs and wonders to follow them. Amen? See, we got to stretch. We got to stretch what we're asking for. We're asking for things like this when we have this much we can start asking for. Why hasn't this stuff ever happened to me? Have you asked for signs and wonders in your home, in your life, in your ministry? Healing and other signs and wonders. Here's the importance of them. Are you ready? It gets people's attention. It is the dinner bell of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you know who Bill Winston is? Pastor Bill Winston out in Chicago. Awesome. I recommend all of his videos. Just amazing. Bill Winston said something about miracle signs and wonders that stuck with me. He said, miracle signs and wonders have the ability to capture the attention of a geographical location that will paralyze the works of the kingdom of darkness. Amen. See, people, we just don't press in for miracle signs and wonders to have a circus in here. Amen. It's for a purpose. Amen. And it points to the Lord. It points to him. It gets people's attention. That's what it is. It's a sign and it makes you wonder. Listen to this. Let me touch on this then. The manifestation of gold dust or glory dust, people call it different things. It's simply a sign and a wonder that points to the manifest presence and the glory of God in a specific location. It points to Jesus. It points to the Lord. It's like a token of the Lord. It's like the Lord saying, my glory is in this place. And basically what it is, it's a sign. When I've seen ministries have this kind of thing happen, it's a sign from God as well that heavenly doors, heavenly gates, heavenly windows are beginning to open in a church, in a location, in a personal life, in a ministry. Amen? It happens, but it's just the beginning because the doors are going to be opening much wider as we continue to keep pressing in. Amen? It's just the beginning. Say it's just the beginning. So I want to encourage you all, ask for miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. Ask for these things. Ask for them in your home. Listen, if you ask and God doesn't want to do it, he won't do it. But he wants to do it. He wants to meet, thank you, Lord. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yeah, that includes glory dust and gold dust. Come on, amen? But here's the main key. It happens as you consistently minister to the Lord. Get your eyes off yourself, minister to the Lord, like I preached about last week. And you have a desire for more of his presence, more of his glory. You want to know him more. And when you seek him, when you're seeking him for the deeper things, these strange things start to happen. It's been prophesied here that people are going to come in and say, that was strange. I've seen strange things in there. I like that. See, I'm not into boring as a Christian. I'm not. As your level of intimacy with God increases, the heavenly doors, heavenly gates, and heavenly windows begin to open wider and wider and wider. So here, as I finish up here, the Word of God gives us the general framework of the will of God about spiritual laws, general information about different stories, different accounts in the Word of God. You know, one thing that struck me is all these movies about David are being done and, with David and Goliath. But that's really kind of a short little account in the Word. That's where you got to ask, Holy Spirit, give me more info of what took place there, some of the dynamics involved. Amen? All right? So the Word of God gives us that the general, but the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us deeper, specific details about the Word of God and the accounts in the Word of God. Amen? All right. So our job and purpose on this earth is simple. Do everything we can as Christians to restore the rule and reign of God on this earth in every location, in every heart. And we do that by preaching and teaching the Word of God, getting people born again, making disciples, healing the sick, casting demons out, asking, seeking, and knocking, exposing evil, advancing righteousness, and making ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Church, it's time to prepare for and position ourselves to activate and receive more revelation that will equip us to be used in this coming awakening, revival, and outpouring. This will be a powerful, it's the end time move of God. Amen. I believe there's one more powerful move. And if you want to be in it, make yourself available. Start getting into the Word. Start asking questions to get more revelation from the Holy Ghost. Amen. We must ask, seek, and knock with curiosity, with desire, with spiritual hunger and faith. Do it like your life depends on it, because it does. Not only your life, but the lives of others you're going to touch. Amen? Let's press in for more and stand up. Prayer team, come on down. Not too bad, 1209. Hallelujah. Now, maybe you're in this place, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. What does that mean? It means if you're hearing this message, you need to do it today because you might not have tomorrow. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, come on down to one of the prayer team members, and tell them, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. If this message pricked your heart and you said, you know what? I want more revelation. I want to go deeper. I'm going to commit. I want to spend more time, more effort. And you know what? For me, maybe, you know, God is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. That's not just for full-time pastors, by the way. Do you hear what I said? Maybe my diligently seeking him is spending 6 hours praying in tongues here. But for you, with your busy life, maybe 2 hours is you're diligently seeking him. Maybe it's an extra hour. Just go up and beyond what you've done. Are you following me? Just linger a little bit longer. That's all. If that's you and you want to commit to really pressing in, just come down and say, hey, this message touched me. Pray for me. If you need to recommit your life to the Lord, you've fallen away, come on down. Tell him, I want to recommit my life to the Lord today. I want to get serious with him. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They'll pray with you to receive and talk to you about it. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. Now, don't keep them too long because we have our annual business meeting and then our lunch after, if you signed up for it. So, all right. I love you all. Have a wonderful week. And